Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
We're here this morning. We're here in a time of excitement, and you'll understand that as the show unravels. And Paul, would you like to make any comment on clones and bilocation as we were starting to, as we were talking about before the show? I believe bilocation, Paul, may have to do with you transporting yourself to another place. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. It's just, you know, cloning is not an exact science.
No, it's not. But it turns out that George Bush Sr., who supposedly George Bush Sr. passed away, it turns out that he's been identified as clone 34, and maybe we'll do a program just on cloning. But the object of this show is to actually reveal to you the deceptions.
Well, it's actually 41.
Oh, 41. Wow.
He was the 41st president. 41.
And by the way, all the symbols mean something, too, which I haven't gotten my code book on what all symbols mean. Randy, you want to pop in here anywhere?
On that one, I don't have a ton of information, but I like to listen. I definitely like to hear Paul's take on it all. Paul, gotcha.
It's one of those lunatic fringe, commentaries. Papa Bush was really quite a great man, and cloning him would have been an extraordinary achievement. We could have used 100 copies of that clone.
Totally. The problem with clones, as far as I hear, Paul, is I couldn't figure out why they needed 34 or 41 or whatever it is. It turns out they don't last that long. So they actually periodically, every few years, I don't know how that works, they have to keep replacing them. So if he was the 41st president, I'm not sure how many years there are actually between that. But it sounds like it would be running at like a clone a year.
You know, I can't comment on that because it's such an outrageous piece of pseudo-biotech that, you know, we're not quite ready to digest it.
Yeah. Well, I will give you a little bit of information. I was reading something for good old Ernie the Electrician. Randy and I were just going through it this morning, and I didn't want to do the entire thing, but I'm going to pull out different parts of it because I think it's really important that you know that we've been cheated and manipulated from every which way. And one of them is that currently Wall Street is actually admitting that they have had as high as a 10-second delay, allowing them to profit before the common investor can react. Wow, bad boys again. And then there's a whole list of people that time is running out for, including Cheney and Rumsfeld. And what that means is that as of the 5th, the number fluctuates, but it's right around 60,000 all the time when I hear it. The indictments are actually happening now. They're actually going out and they're picking them up and putting them away. So we'll find out how that all works. But when you realize the numbers of what they were dealing with, it's like, oh my God, these people, there's 325 million people in the United States, okay? They wanted to reduce us to 63 million. What is that? I don't think you have your calculator. Randy and I are kind of in random places trying to get this stuff done. But that's a depopulation of 90%, it looks like to me. And then to find out that some of my people that were heroes, and I loved Truman and Eisenhower. I read their books. I thought they were amazing. You know, Eisenhower brought in the highways and stuff like that because he saw the Autobahn in Europe. You know, I thought they really contributed, except they were actually built for movement of troops, not humans, because, of course, they were reducing us. And it goes back, I think the Rothschilds have been running the show since at least 250, 300 years. So all this has been going on in the background while they've been busy.
It's not just the Rothschilds. It's the J.P. Morgans and the Vanderbilts. Let's not forget those guys.
I'm glad you brought him up, but I think who started this thing in the first place was that Rothschild that bet on the Russians winning and shorted the stock market and said that as long as he had all the people and the money of the country, he didn't have to be president or anything like that. He would rule the world. Which Rothschild was that? Do you remember, Paul? Or Randall?
No. Number two, I think.
It is. I think
he's right. Yep.
Yeah. So he is the one that started shorting countries and taking them over. And then I think George Soros must be a great-grandson or something like that because he does the same kind of crap. So hopefully he's on the list. But what I find really, one of the things that I chuckle about, and this is me speculating, I'm sure both of you are aware that you cannot have a title and be in Congress. Did you know that?
No titles of nobility.
Yeah, no titles. And guess what esquires are? Lawyers. Congress is about, what would you guess, Paul, 75 to 80% lawyers?
That number's a little high, but yeah, the percentage is very high.
Well, guess what? They all get to go now. And there'll have to be midterm elections. It has to be. It has to be. And Marianne Williamson, folks, she's running for Congress, and I backed her the last time she did, and this time she'll win, too. So, Marianne Williamson stands for a return to love. That, if you look at people symbolically, I haven't figured out what you stand for yet, Randy, except for perhaps a superwoman, okay? Paul, you go through the ages. You are one of the most informed human beings I've ever met in my life. So each of
us. Oh, thank you so much. You know, I was going to make an erudite comment on the conspiracy theories that are rampant about the Rothschilds.
No, they're probably not conspiracy theories anymore, okay? I'm pretty sure at this point they actually have the evidence to prove it. I think.
Well, you know, just about every conspiracy theory website that presumes the world's governments act in kind of willing concert under the guidance of some secret council points the finger at the Rothschilds.
Exactly. So they're the grandparents of all of this mess, okay? I actually knew Anselm Rothschild, and he was one of their dominions, and I actually had another Rothschild on the TV show years and years and years ago. And you know what? They were so ashamed to be Rothschilds. It was just like, we don't think about that part of it. Anselm, who was, I just loved him dearly, he was a client, he actually was a very great composer and wrote church music. And then he died of AIDS, and it was a huge loss. And he had given me his appointment book, and that disappeared somewhere into the ethers, too. But, you know, when we say, oh, I hate the police, or I hate the Rothschilds, or I hate this or that, there's ones out there that are actually white Illuminati, and that's actually been my conflict, is that I come from Illuminati bloodlines, and in the beginning, because of my experience, I thought everything was black Illuminati. I didn't actually...
Well. Let's be careful here, because the Rothschilds were Jewish, and initially, historically, the Rothschilds had their seed in Britain, and at one point, and his name was Nathan Rothschild said, I'm not exactly sure of the statement, it was a famous statement, and he said, I don't care what puppet is placed on the throne of England to rule the empire, but the man who controls Britain's money supply controls the British Empire, and I control the British money supply, quote unquote. That was a true statement. Nathan Rothschild.
Okay, he's the one I was referring to. Perfect, Paul, because I was just looking him up. He's the one, in those days it took like 2 weeks to get anything anywhere because they were on ships and stuff and they didn't have any communication. It was understood that the, whether it was the Russians or whatever, had won the war, and they hadn't, okay? So he quick like a, and everybody thought they were winning, so he quick like a bunny went back to England, sold all of his stock, all of it, saying that it was because of this, because the Russians had won, and he caused the stock market to crash. And then he went in because he already knew they'd lost, and he bought it back up. And that's how, that was the first country he did. The second country he did was France. And after that, there was no stopping him. And after that, greed just attracted greed. And it was like, oh, you know? And we've been under this, we've been living in so much illusion for so long. It's just, it's liberating actually to start being able to breathe again.
Well, you know, the Rothschilds were fundamentally European-based, and they were all over Europe. Don't forget, in my wine cellar, I have a bottle of Chateau Mouton Rothschild.
Are you kidding me? Of course you have one in your cellar.
some of the best wines, came from the Rothschild family. But, look, they were in Naples, they were in London, they were in Vienna. They had tentacles everywhere. Maybe not tentacles, but
I like the word tentacles. Exactly what it does. The tentacle comes in and it puts its arm around you, Paul, and then it just starts squeezing you. I actually went and hooked up with a couple of my friends that I haven't seen physically in a couple of years, like my friend Chris last week. That woman, God bless her, she's a giver, okay? I hardly recognized her. She was practically crawling. And I said, are you okay? And she said, I'm not a we anymore, I'm an I. And I said, oh, my God, I am so sorry to hear that you have lost so much energy. We're going to take care of that. And that's what happens. When your energy and your heart are at a high level, you float over things. When you give too much and you don't take care of yourself first, then you start to get drained. And I've never seen Chris look like that in my entire life, and I've known this woman for like 40 years. And I know that that's what's happening, too. We were just before the show this morning, we were talking about our friend John Young, where Randy's going to have her new radio show. You want to put in the name of your new radio show, Randy?
Say that again. It cut out on my side.
Oh, it would when you're about to just mention what your new radio show is going to be about in New York.
Very good. Voices of Truth Radio, and we're up to about 15 tapings, and some of them are just absolutely amazing. I mean, the topics. We've had Ben Fuchs, we've had Dr. Joel Wallach, we have a guy, I don't want to say his name or what he's with, but he is living in Spain. Actually, I think he's in Madrid. And I think we did about 7 or 8 different tapings. Really, really neat guy. He's actually American, but living over there. And what's that?
I think I know who you're talking about. Did I get a picture of you and him?
No, different guy. Different.
It's a different guy. I thought I had you nailed.
No. That one's a neat guy, though. Very interesting. From Madrid as well.
Girlfriends are girlfriends. What can I do? We talk about the guys.
<That's right.
laughs> So, our world gives us great opportunities. The point being is the gentleman that runs that radio station, he's been under so much stress just trying to help keep us all on air, and what he's gone through is we almost lost him to stress. And when I called and let him know that things had turned around and that the arrests had actually started, and they have, folks, that arrest, when you say, why didn't they ever start arresting these buggers? They're arresting the buggers, okay? You can count on it. You can absolutely count on it. And when I called and told him that, I could hear him start breathing.
Do you have any insider info on that?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Bugging the buggers.
Pardon?
Has there been any arrests? That's what I want to know.
Yes, there have been arrests.
Well, you know, you're talking about bugging.
No, I call them buggers because if I call them anything else, Michael bleep me.
Oh, well, you know, buggers is not the best adjective in the world in Britain.
What is a bugger in Britain?
Variety of different interpretations. But the big buggers are at the NSA. You know, they do a good job of bugging.
Well, Well, that would fit. I mean, it would fit any of it. The thing that's happening is the arrests have already started. I actually had a list of arrests that had already happened on some other page, and I couldn't find it, Randy. And they've started, and they're going to become more public, and I think there's actually been a couple of them in the newspaper, and I honestly hadn't heard of the names before, but when people, when I read them to somebody, they go, oh, yeah, that's real, that's due, you know? I haven't heard that Hillary Clinton has been bugged, okay, and or selected. And I've heard that there's been a lot of clones on her, and Randy and I were joking about, oh, God, 6 months back about which clone would be sent to jail and how was that fair. Well, since now I found out the clones don't last long and they knew what they were getting into, I don't have any problem with them fading away into the sunset permanently. And it's happening, folks, and that's why you hear vibrant joy in my voice, okay? Because we've turned the corner. We've really, really, really turned the corner, and you're going to notice a difference. Even for this year, I even got an increase of 2.8% in my Social Security. Like, oh, my God. I haven't put it away yet. So how about you, Paul?
Well, all I know is that my SBBB list increases every day. But at the
what
top
is that?
Of my SBB, it's mm-hmm. one of my acronyms, should be behind bars.
Good. I like it. I like it.
I do, too.
You heard it today for the first time on this show. SBBB, should be behind bars. And, you know, at the top of the list are the Clintons.
Well, did you see the pictures from the funeral, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Did you see the thing with... take a close look at her. She doesn't look like the other Hillarys.
But just, like, the faces of all of them lined up sitting next to each other. You know, I love Trump. Can I say it enough? He's got to sit there
something.
With
Everybody
enemies.
Everybody loves... Well, he tweets without thinking, okay? Once he tweets without thinking, then he shoots himself in the foot for a while, but he's so amazing that we all forgive him. Except, dear President Trump, think before you tweet, feel before you...
But do you know what I'm saying? That's like all anybody... I went home recently and visited my family and friends, and that's the same thing I hear. It's like, okay, did the airwaves program that into everybody? Because I love his tweets. I keep retweeting his tweets. I love him. I love what he's doing. If that's the worst anybody can say, then everybody needs to stop saying that, and let's, like, talk about all the 99% of great things that he does.
Well, that's not going to happen because, well, it is happening because part of the arrest list is actually, I heard Wolf Blitzer is one of the ones to be arrested, okay? And part of it is that they're masters of manipulating emotion, and it has the people that are against Trump are good people, but they're operating from their emotions and not from their intelligence because all these other guys are masters at manipulation, and they're pounding you with reprogramming on TV all the time. And I'm going to say it's only in maybe the last month or so where they've actually put anything that's good on television. You know, like community service or these people that took care of these dogs or... I had never seen that in a long, long time, and that's coming back now. So somebody's getting a dent in there somewhere. But I lay a lot of this at the media, and once the media is corrected, and I know there's good people in the media. There's always good people everywhere. They're just trying to stay alive. I don't know if anybody's watching Murphy Brown. Murphy Brown is totally against Trump. But they do it in such a way that it's really interesting because it makes you think, and nothing else is making people think on television. Will and Grace also are against Trump, except
how about
Karen.
Name a show that's for him?
Well,
go
the point being
is, I mean, I
actually
all of those shows.
Those two shows, even though they quotes don't appear to be for him, will actually make you think about him. They're very, very funny. It's like they bring up such like. I'm trying to think of his name right now. The funny one that I like so much on Will and Grace, the gay guy. He's actually doing a play on Gay Lincoln and things like that. they make you think about things. They actually get into issues of the heart, and they actually talk about them, and they open up dialogue. Okay, they're not just blatantly after somebody. They have a counterpart. Each of them has a counterpart that they banter with, even though the leaning is towards the other side. And you'll see this change. I think what they're creating, I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican or whatever, they're creating a dialogue about gayness, about all kinds of things. And I find that very exciting. So that's our possibility here. And I would say those two shows are actually the brightest thing to come on that create people thinking again. See, the problem is, guys, they're not thinking. They're reacting too. They're like...
The problem is, guys, that everybody is stuck on cell phones, Facebook, Google, media, and we're losing touch with our humanity.
Oh, right on. Right on, Paul. And they break up and get married by text. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen.
On what? Text? What are you saying?
They see each other back and forth, and they think they're having a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting here this morning, and it's cold, okay? And I was thinking about when I grew up, what it was like when it was cold. I would get really excited because the milkman would have delivered the milk with the cream on top of it. And when it gets cold, the cream freezes and lifts the top off, and you can eat the cream. And it's fun. And I'm going to say 99% in America, people will never get to see the cream on top of the bottle or get to eat the cream or stand out in the snow and feed the squirrels or any of this because they're busy inside with their blankies on and their tea or whatever they're drinking, texting someone. Mm-hmm. Because it's too cold out.
I just had a birthday a few days ago.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
And
I was so disappointed. I don't want to receive a text on my cell phone from a friend. Mm-hmm. I want a telephone call. I want a card. You know? I don't want a text.
My friend Chris said
I want to have direct contact with my friends. Everything has become so cold and so impersonal that we are really, really losing touch with our humanity. And Murphy Brown's of the world, my God, I had dinner with her at the Hotel Bel Air 14 years ago. And, you know, she's the daughter of a ventriloquist. Let's put it into perspective, okay?
What's the odds of that?
All right, Candace Bergen, she's the daughter of a ventriloquist.
I totally remember that, Edgar Bergen. Oh, God, that is so funny. What is she talking? She did something funny. She's talking to her son, and she says something to him about vegetables or something like that. And he said,
I don't want to say that she's a dummy, but I'm tempted. You know, the pun is appropriate.
She's incredibly clever, too. Anyway,
although she did a fairly good job playing an attorney on a show called Boston Legal.
Oh, I knew about the show, but I don't think I ever watched it.
James Spader and William Shatner were absolutely remarkable as two attorneys on that show. I managed to watch a few episodes because they had a human connection. They were friends and enemies at the same time.
Yes, and that's what I like about it. And that's what Murphy Brown is about now. So they do a good job of, you know, being themselves, so to speak. And her son is on a competing network and things like that. And there's some of the funniest stuff comes out. I love it. Anyway, when you brought up James Spader, that brought up for me The Blacklist, which I think is the... on the air, The Blacklist? Do you know, Paul?
Which Blacklist?
Spader's show that's called The Blacklist, and I watched it for 3 or 4 years, and now I can't find it, okay? And he's Cabal. Black Cabal.
I've vaguely heard of it, but I've never... I don't really have a lot of time to watch TV. I scan through...
If you want to see the dark side, look at runs of this. It's incredibly well-written. It's brilliantly written, and it's horrifyingly shocking because... the things that we've, quote, mentioned or talked about or alluded to, they're all right there. So television is putting out some stuff. Now, I heard, what's his name? Jim Carrey is supposed to be Cabal, but it's really interesting because I watched Jim Carrey on television, and he's done things a couple of times, like he does the symbol of the Illuminati, and then he sticks his tongue out through it, and he says, pay attention, it's everywhere.
You have to watch a film with Jim Carrey in which he plays Mr. Pecker's Penguins. Charming film.
What?
Never heard of that.
What did you like about
that?
But, you know, any connection between Jim Carrey and what remains of the Illuminati is strictly illusional.
Really? Why do you say?
Well, because Jim Carrey is, he's a comedian, he's a comic. He doesn't really have a dark side. There are a lot more, shall we say, stars in the firmament of Hollywood that have a dark side. Jim Carrey's not one of them.
I would think, who would you think would be dark-sided?
You mean among Hollywood elite?
Who would you say are the dark sides?
Oh, listen, do you have about an hour and a half?
Well, because maybe that's just 10
the list is,
yeah,
the list is,
we
list
do.
Is long. Unfortunately, you know, the taxi driver, better known as Robert De Niro.
That was exactly who I was thinking of.
Okay.
Did you ever see Taxi Driver?
Of course.
Well, I went to see Taxi Driver many years ago, and I actually fell asleep. And when I woke up, he was busy scalping people. And it made me so sick that I went and threw up in the bathroom. Because I woke up into this just absolute horror.
Well, you know, it was part of a trend in what I call shock movies or shock films. If you look at Taxi Driver, you have to look at a film directed and played in by Warren Beatty, in which Warren Beatty shone the light. Or shined the light on conspiracy theories, in particular the John F. Kennedy assassination. So,
oh, God,
you know, I'm not suggesting that Warren Beatty's on the blacklist, but definitely Robert De Niro is on my bad boys list for sure.
Oh, he's deranged. You know, when I hear him talk, he sounds deranged. He doesn't just sound evil. He sounds like he's, like, off his rocker. Anyway, this is the stuff that's being put in front of us all the time. And also, as Jim was saying, what I appreciated from Jim Carrey, Randy, is what he was saying was he was making fun of it, but he was telling us, look around, it's all around you, and then he showed the Illuminati symbol and stuck his tongue through it, you know? And then
When did he do this?
On an interview show that I was watching maybe a year ago.
Interesting.
And then he did that, what was the Bright Mind or the Enlightened Mind, or I can't remember the name of it, but a lot of his stuff seemed very actually spiritual to me. I think he's a comedian that gets to get away with a lot of stuff because he's so good at it.
The trouble with Hollywood is that many, many actors play very endearing characters which have absolutely nothing to do with their personality. So our impression of those actors is distorted by our love of some of the characters that they've played, and some of them turn out to be really, really, really unsavory people.
I was thinking of, Kevin Spacey.
Oh, Kevin Spacey, please.
I'm trying to remember the name of the show.
House
with
of
him,
Cards.
Kate Blanchett, I think. Was it Kate Blanchett? Who plays Claire? been a
You're
while
not talking
since.
About House of Cards.
Yes, I am, but who plays Claire?
That is Robin Wright.
They were so good at what they were doing, but what was really when I stopped watching it, and mm-hmm. I stopped watching it a few years back before this whole thing about Kevin came out,
mm-hmm.
was how evil he was. It starts out with a scene where a dog has been hit by a car and he's in the street, and Kevin just walks over and strangles it. It's putting us out of his misery, and it just kind of gives you who the man is in the beginning. But at the end of it, when I stopped watching, she was always his balance. It would be like he'd want to do this and that, and she'd think, well, that, you know, she wanted the power that he had, but she wasn't so sick about it. And
well, you should pick back up and watch it, because I just did a binge watch of the last season. And
hey, did you see the one where she gets that look in her eye and you know she's every bit as evil as he is?
Yeah, but in the last season, she's not. I'll give you that. Well, she is in a way, but...
What is she doing now?
She tries to make things better, but yet I'm hearing the show is over, and they left it on a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we had The Sopranos. So we've been able to glimpse the dark side quite a bit. I actually grew up around a lot of gangsters, and The Sopranos were so much like that. That it helps me to see that it wasn't just my world. And that, I think, is part of the problem, especially Randy and I were talking before the show, Paul, and she was asking, or how do we get into that conversation about PTSD? And she said, well, I think you said something like, where do you get it?
Mm-hmm.
A
couple people that we were talking about, yes.
Yeah. But the thing
how
is...
How did they get it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been chalked off to its war. Anytime you've been terribly traumatized, you have PTSD if you have no way of releasing it. And I want you to know there are lots of technologies available in case that's one of the things. That happens to be one of my things that I do the most of. I do families and PTSD. Because what's happened is that people are trapped in horrible experiences. For instance, I think with Randy this morning we were talking about perhaps somebody's seeing somebody slap a child around or something like that. Anything that horrifies you. Okay, I don't know what you call it, but the flip side of PTSD is that you actually get anchored in something that's not traumatic. It's actually, it's a better way to go, but it still is a trap, because PTSD traps you in the moment in which you were horrified, and you can be triggered off from a number of different varieties depending upon. A woman came into my office and saw a red seal on one of my diplomas and started going crazy. And I finally got through to her to ask her why, because when she looked at that diploma, she saw the red seal and she had discovered her mother murdered, okay? And that little red dot took her into the murder. So that when you understand that a red dot can lead somebody back into hell because what has happened to them has not been completed, and you complete that thing with them, their life can change in an instant. And many people in alcoholic families, God bless you, because you got it. Anybody that's ever felt like they were walking on eggshells has probably got PTSD. Anybody who says repeated behavior things, like one of my clients calls up and says, well, my husband and I are, or I don't know why I ever married my husband. She'll say that, like, she said it like maybe 50 times over the years, but every time she says it, I know that she's in a PTSD episode. That's like the clue to it. So these things can all be undone, and that's what we want you to know. We want you to know the light is coming, and it can and will and is being done right now. And it is a turnaround, and yes, it really, 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 really is happening. And we want you to know that. And we want you just to breathe and go out and play in the snow and do whatever you need to do that puts you into a happy moment. What would you be saying to that, Randy?
I totally agree. It's about living. You know, I'm 50 years old. I'm about to have a birthday in a few weeks. And I don't know.
You're
something
gonna,
in the
last,
It's very important to remember one thing: laughter.
Yes. completely.
Laugh a lot.
And love.
Love a lot. Laugh a lot. Yeah. Love a lot. Put the PTSD aside.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, it doesn't get put aside unless you own that you got it, and then you do something about getting it done. It can be put aside very quickly, but if you say you don't have it and you keep needing to do your rudeness and stuff like that and damage others, you don't got it, and you don't have access to the snow or the fun. And
the trouble is that PTSD has become a universal term that covers a whole host of ills, some of which are simply long-term shock from bad memories, you know. But now we have a term for it, PTSD. The trouble is that it certainly does affect our veterans, and it's a totally legitimate mental and sometimes a physical ailment.
Well,
and
more like
in some cases, there's no cure for it.
If I took a paddle prod and I shocked you and you jumped, that could be considered, it's an electrical charge, and that's why I don't want people to think they have a mental condition. They've taken a mental charge, okay? You erase that charge, and you can do those charges in like maybe an hour max, okay, one or two charges, and you can watch the person's conversation and personality start to change. The charges themselves actually pull you away from your true self, and your true self is a loving, great person. That's how we were born, until we kept getting shocked. It's like
mental hospitals have been using shock therapy for almost 100 years.
Yeah, well, that's shock
to various degrees, and you know that's a different kind of electrical shock. But
what I'm telling you,
we don't want to confuse the two.
Okay, but I actually am living in a household with two people with PTSD, and I have to deal with them in a certain way. And sometimes it's that you can't even communicate with them other than in writing, because voice tone will set them off. I mean, I'm in this laboratory and have been for 15 years, okay? So I want you to know that it can be easily handled. You can go to I think it's called the Magnosphere, any company that has that. You can go in and you can go to sleep in that machine, and you can clear up your PTSD, and it's programmed, it's electronic, and it's neutralizing charges in your system, and you don't have to have psychology done. Even though I've been a therapist, I can send somebody to the right place, and 2 months later, they'll come out happy people, okay? It's now evolved to that particular point. But Paul is addressing is how people originally started to evolve, because they understood that it had something to do with shock, but it's specific shocks, okay? So the problem with that earlier method that Paul was talking about is that it blows out the entire memory for many people. And this is very specific. You don't have to talk about your mother or your father or anything. You just go lie in this machine, and guess what? You can have a new future. And one of the things that happened through all this damage is the world became very complicated, okay? Because PTSD, the people are always changing realities, and they're being bounced around from shock to shock. As all these shocks start to be removed, everything gets simpler. Even the way you talk to somebody gets simpler. You don't have to go someplace crazy if you got a defensive reaction. And by the way, if you get defensive and I get defensive, I know that that's a place for me where I've got shocked. It's real simple, okay? And I've simplified it over the years. I've been working on this particular project for 70 years, which is why I am such a life extender. And I think, Randy, it's one of the reasons that you're so amazing with longevity.
It's a great company, isn't it? I tell you what,
the company is giving people back their lives.
In just the last week alone, in fact, 2 days ago, I did an interview with somebody that had some things going on. It was osteoporosis of the face, and he literally wanted to take his life. He was suffering so bad. And I put him on some of the protocols, and he started to have a couple of other attacks in the same first 30 days of being on the protocol, and I told him exactly what to do. We were already prepared for it. I knew what was going to happen to him, and he followed the protocols exactly, and he's never had another attack. We actually just did an interview. He's a host of a radio program. And yesterday, I had a man call me, Angel and his wife Marie. He had high numbers for prostate cancer, and he was about to go in and get radiated. And I said, do you understand that's going to permanently change things for you? You may never be able to perform or function again. And he said, yeah, but, you know, they're pushing me to get this, and I really think I need to. And I said, just give it 30 days. You do what you want. It's totally up to you. Just give it 30 days. And he called elated yesterday because his numbers had dropped. 1 month.
And we could do that. And I created a Lazarus kit because my dog was dying. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to make arrangements to put the dog down. And I went to all the companies that I had dealt with. My dog couldn't even stand up to pee without his legs collapsing. I couldn't take him for a walk around the house. I talked to the vet. She said, it sounds like it's his time. And I thought, wait a minute. Why don't I just feed him some of this stuff? Dogs don't drink and smoke, so they should react faster. Within 1 week, I used Young Japanese Rebound. I used Kayani's Nitro Extreme. I used Dr. Gundry's Red Berries. Let's see, what else? Oh, Thrive HGH, and then the new product that's come out, which is the Somaderm, that are they help boost the immune system. In what I have now on my hands, in 1 week, I had the difference between a dog whose eyes were glazed over, who definitely looked like it was his time. Now, the old bugger, I can hardly keep up with him. He's taking the steps two at a time. He's full of sass. I didn't realize that him not barking meant something. But he started barking again, but not in a bad way. It's like in a talking way. He now barks. He hadn't barked in like 5 or 6 years. So I guess.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, it is. But I didn't see it as a sign of. I didn't see it as a sign of something leaving or reducing. I just thought I had finally trained him not to bark. Well, now he doesn't bark incessantly anymore like he used to. He barks when he wants something. He comes over and communicates, you know. He sasses with the cat. He actually, oh, that's when he started barking again, was when the cat loves to eat his dog food. And he let her know that was about okay. And you wouldn't believe this is the same dog. I mean, it was like less than a month, but noticeable already in a week. So that's all about depletion, okay? So it's a combination. I would guess our story would be something like, you let me know if you agree with that, Randy, but our story would be something like, it's a combination of releasing charges, the best way that you can find that works for you. I actually want to start one of these clinics for free where people can, these machines cost about $60,000 a piece. Mm-hmm. But I would like to just create something where it's either free or minimal charge, and they can come in, and I love the fact that you can sleep your way through through this problem.
That's amazing. If you want, when are you opening this? you know enough people. You know,
I have. You ought to see them getting hooked. I can't even tell. I am getting hooked up with some of the greatest leaders on the planet, some of the greatest artists, and mm-hmm. some of the greatest futurists, and I just love it.
They would love to be a part of this.
Well, you will be after you've taken some of the courses, because it takes some of the courses to get you into it, because you have to create a mm-hmm. certain kind of thinking to do what I'm doing. And I only worked on it 70 years, Randy, so I'll see if I can speed up a bit for you. We actually
good,
are,
very good.
I don't know. We actually are being... Lita and I and a few others were talking about how we're now in the fourth dimensioning, transitioning between the fifth and the third. And the third mm-hmm. dimension is 3D reality, and the fourth dimension is where we're coming, what we see is, and somebody else may see it differently, but we see it as the recognition and coming together. And then what happens in the fifth dimension, and I do want to comment on this, I got one of our listeners actually sent me a course about two or three years ago called Your Word is Your Command. Okay? This was a big mm-hmm. deal. Except I, quotes, didn't have time to listen to it. It was like 14 things. Well, I started to actually give it away. And then something stopped me, and I started listening to it. And, oh, my God, that was when I found out there was White Illuminati. And I think the guy's name was maybe Trudeau or something. But you had to listen to the end, the very 14th thing where it says, to join us, you have to actually go and go through the person that sent it to you. Well, I lost their name and address like 2 years before. So if that mm-hmm. person that sent me, Your Word is Your Command, you would please contact me at 310-455-8623. I would like to go through you so I can actually join this group of people, because I want to hang out with the White Illuminati, and they are bloody amazing. They meet in Switzerland and all kinds of places. They take cruises, I think, once a year, and they share the top technologies of everything that they've come across. And I bet you would just love to be there, too.
Absolutely. By the way, Sherry Sharifi Brown, we should send her well wishes. She had some knee surgery, and you might want to go visit her. She's missing our conversation. And very special happy birthdays. My mother's birthday is tomorrow. She'll be 70. And a special happy birthday to Oscar, who turned 53, a dear friend of mine.
Well, we should find out how our dear guest here, Paul, how old he is, if he's
yes.
Does he change subjects real quick?
He did real fast.
I had to drop out for about 10 minutes because I was on another call on another phone. So I'm back, so I missed some of the discussion.
How old are you?
I'm sorry?
How old are you? We're
How old am I? 75.
75. I'm 78.
You do not sound it, Paul. You sound amazing.
Nobody's.
What does 75 sound like? If it sounds like that all day long, that's awesome.
Oh, listen, you don't want to question those things, you know? Age right. is just a number. Don't forget that. That's a critical 100%. Phrase.
You're the busiest 75-year-old I've ever known, for real. Always, always moving around.
I totally love it.
Well, I did play in the American Open Chess Championships over Thanksgiving weekend.
And
went out and ran 14 miles. I have to go out and
go back
train
to
right now. The LA Marathon's coming up, my 34th.
Don't skip over the chess championships.
If you play your cards right, you might see me on TV.
So I'm still waiting to see what you look like, you know. I've made all these, I've tried to track you down, but I haven't done it yet. I'm going to have to drive down. Still, I want to know
let's see, what celebrities have I been with recently?
No.
Judge Jeanine, I was with her.
How fun.
The Mooch, Scaramucci, I was with him recently. Who else? That's the only name dropping I can do today.
Judge Jeanine, she's a good one.
I love her.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
You like Judge Jeanine?
Yes. She's one of the most amazingly opinionated, beautiful women on television. I love her. What were you doing with her?
She's remarkable, but the point is she laughs a lot. You know,
what?
I am the Knight Sir Lancelot. I like to sing and dance a lot. She's very, very funny, and her sense of humor gets her through a vast amount of trauma that she suffers because of her political views.
She's a little thing, too.
How did you meet her?
Yeah, she's a brilliant lady.
Right, how did you meet her?
I was notified that she was going to be doing a book signing, and I got a call from her publicist to go down to the Nixon Library. I happened to be in town, and I went down with my wife to the Nixon Library and met her, and we had a little dinner outdoors where she was signing books, and her book is called Liars, Leakers, and Leeches. Now, I put leeches in there, but it's liars and leakers.
We're getting off air with liars and leakers, okay?
Liars and leakers is quite enough, you know. But I definitely, I was on national TV briefly in March of this year because I was interviewed at the LA Marathon at Dodger Stadium. It was Channel 5, Channel 7, and I don't remember the other one. They were local channels, but it... I think it got a glimpse of national.
Paul, you're running over, and I've muted you.
It was
your part. We just need to have time to thank everybody. That includes Paul. And Randy and I want you to know that a really bright and fabulous future is going, and you can see the brilliance that we're surrounded with, and Paul the plumber being one of them. So,
have you ever done plumbing in your life, Paul?
He can't answer. I've muted him.
I know.
Oh, this is your sign off, Randy. Your big sign off. What is it?
Well, just go live life. Everyone just needs to get out and go do it, and just shut off all the negative. It's all around us.
Yeah.
Not
the dog. Roll in the snow, and we'll be back with you next week. Have some fun.
Great. And you're not crazy
anymore. You've Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heaveninincorporated.com. This is for all in you, pouring through. Now your heart is open.